We've had a series of conversations this week about Iraq and about the rise of ISIS and whether the U.S. should be more or less involved in the fight against the extremist group. Yesterday, we spoke with Iraqi-American Ahmed Ali, who's a senior visiting fellow at the Education for Peace in Iraq Center. He said there are enough U.S. troops on the ground in Iraq right now.
Those special operators will not have to fight on behalf of the Iraqis. They will be enablers to the Iraqi forces and not the tip of the spear to defeat ISIS.
We've also spoken this week with military analyst Andrew Basevich, former Bush administration official Elliot Abrams, and former war correspondent Rajiv Chandrasekharan. You can hear those conversations at hereandnow.org. Now, let's hear from someone who served in the Iraq War. Matt Victoriano served as a Marine sniper team leader in Iraq in 2003 and 2004. He now owns Intrepid Life, a veterans-based business in Durham, North Carolina. Matt, before we talk about what's happening in Iraq right now, I want to go back to 2003 and the original invasion. What did you think the mission was?
I thought that we were overthrowing Saddam, a dictator in the region who posed a threat to our interests. I believed that there were terrorists involved and that there were weapons of mass destruction as well.
And it sounds like when you say I believed, we all know now that there were no weapons of mass destruction. But did your opinion of your mission and what the U.S. was doing in Iraq start to change while you were there?
It did. You know, President Bush's speech of why we were going over there indicated weapons of mass destruction and links to terrorists. When they named the operation Operation Iraqi Freedom, that's when I started to wonder why we were there. And then during the process of the invasion, my viewpoints really started to change.
And what did you think of the surge that happened late in the Bush presidency when he decided to basically double down on the U.S. strategy in Iraq and put a lot more forces in?
As a military approach, it was what was necessary. But without the political bureaucratic support that it needed to sustain its effectiveness, it fell short.
So what did you think of the drawdown of troops in 2011?
Well, it had to happen. I mean, unless we're the only way to have any type of lasting impact is to occupy the country and make it a protectorate of our own. And we don't want to do that. So it's, you know, without it becoming another Soviet Afghanistan, we had to withdraw them.
Okay, so we had to withdraw them. So what about where we are now? And we have seen the rise of ISIS, and it's taken control of big sections of Iraq and Syria, but specifically on Iraq. Do you think that the U.S. could have avoided that rise to power of ISIS?
They could have. We could never, you know, we could have avoided invading Iraq in the first place, which created the structure for that to happen. During the current administration also, they, one, didn't take the necessary steps to influence the Maliki government, and they also withdrew important intelligence and surgical assets from the area, completely exposing it to ISIS taking over.
So what do you think the U.S. should do now?
Well, experience and history tells me that we need to not be involved outside of maybe limited surgical strikes on key high-value targets. But emotion tells me otherwise. I'm on the phone every day with my interpreter there who volunteered to rejoin the army, the Iraqi army, when ISIS took Mosul. And I've been on the phone with them several times in life or death situations over there. And because of that, because he almost died and has almost died and continues to be under threat because his family members are constantly dying at the hands of ISIS, I feel a personal obligation to do something and to have our government do something to protect him and the other Iraqis there that we've left in danger.
You're saying that the U.S. government has a responsibility now because of all the people in Iraq who have helped this government who are now in danger.
I do. It requires obviously political, diplomatic, economic, social action that we haven't been willing to take as well as military action. But I think that we should do the steps that are necessary to help remove ISIS as a threat from Iraq.
We're speaking with Matt Victoriano, who served as a Marine sniper team leader in Iraq back in 2003 and 2004. And just so I understand, Matt, what do you think that means the U.S. should do? What steps are necessary now to defeat ISIS? Should we be sending more troops into Iraq?
Well, more? I don't know about more. our efforts to train their forces failed in the past, and it's going to fail now. You can try to train the Iraqi army and Shia militias, but without the will to fight and the motivation, it's not going to work. Even then, the only effective fighting force that they have in Iraq right now are the Shia militias. And if they end up taking over the rest of Iraq, you've got a big problem, along with the Iranian forces that are there. However, there are direct action type missions, other ways of using our military forces in conjunction with certain Iraqi forces to remove ISIS from the area without the consequences that would exist doing it in other ways.
Would you go back and serve again?
It depends on the circumstances.
Well, would you go back now, especially because your translator, Mikey, is still there?
I would. I wouldn't do it as a regular grunt for the U.S. military. I did attempt to go back last summer, but it proved too difficult, and the monetary requirements to do so were out of reach. But if I could get over there and pay my bills and help him out, I would. Absolutely.
And it's just because of him. That's why you want to go.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's that personal connection that gives us a reason to really do what's right in the world anyways. You know, somebody's family member dies of cancer and then they start a foundation to prevent that cancer in the future. I mean, that's an example. Like I said, when you're on the phone with somebody and they're telling you they're going to die and to let their family member know and to do what you can to get, you know, our special operations in there to rescue them, you know, you hear gunshots in the background, it has an effect on you. And I think you have to be a really cold person to say, well, you know, that's just the way it is. You know, tough luck, brother. You know, try to make it out on your own.
So what do you say to people who would say right now, looking at the situation, it's a lost cause for the U.S.? They shouldn't be sending any more troops in. In fact, they should pull out the people that are there working with the U.S. military.
Well, it is a lost cause under the going about it the way that our government is going about it. Unfortunately, our government hasn't done things the right way, period. You know, if they did it the right way, we could have some effect. I mean, the biggest factor being, you know, when you have a central government who forces out all of the leadership within the Iraqi army that is there because of merit, and they install their cronies because of their religious and family ties, nothing's going to work. I mean, that you have to start there, and they haven't done that. I mean, corruption is so widespread, and hearing from my interpreter as well, that you, without addressing that corruption, yeah, it is all going to fail.
As we have these conversations this week about Iraq and ISIS and what to do now, you're the one veteran of this war that we're going to be speaking to. We're talking to a lot of people with different viewpoints, but as a veteran, what do you think you can tell us that nobody else could? What do you know about this situation that somebody who hasn't served there wouldn't know?
Well, I would say it's that personal connection to the people. You know, if you hear it over the radio or you read about it in the news, you don't know the humanity that exists over there. As veterans who have been over there, we've seen the good that exists in the Iraqi people. We see how intelligent they are. We see how compassionate they are, how much they have a will to just live in peace. And you see the bloodshed and the suffering that goes on over there. And it's something that you can't know unless you've been in that situation. And the sorrow that I hear from my interpreter when he tells me that, you know, one of his cousins was executed by ISIS in Tikrit, or another cousin was killed from an RPG in the outskirts of Fallujah, and another friend was killed fighting ISIS just north of Baghdad, and the toll that that has on him and his family members, it's something that you can't understand unless you've been in those situations.
And it makes you want to go and help.
Yeah, it does.
That's Matt Victoriano, who served as a Marine sniper team leader in Iraq in 2003 and 2004. He now owns Intrepid Life, a veterans-based business in Durham, North Carolina. Matt, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks again for having me.
And you can hear all our segments on Iraq from this week and leave us your thoughts at our website, hereandnow.org.